Yes, sir.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah!
Hi, welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier. From Odyssey's Nerd Talk, I'm your host, Gregor. He is not here, he's Brandon from the internet.
I like houses and guns and stuff. Whoa, I'm Brandon.
My name's Brandon, and I'm going to buy an alligator farm.
Oh, the person more likely to buy an alligator farm, all the way from close to Miami, Florida, our East Coast nerd, he's Siege. Hi.
Hey, buddy. How's it going?
Look, you exist. It's nice.
I do. It's amazing how, like, two-thirds of this show shows up.
Yeah, weird.
Remember how that other guy said that he wasn't invited to the... to the owner's meeting.
He was so indignant about it, too. God. Mm-hmm.
Remember how he was not invited to this episode either?
Should I get in touch with Steven right now and see if he wants to hop on in his place?
Steven actually just messaged me on Instagram, so I know he's available.
That's lovely. Yeah. Anyway, massive huge thanks for joining us. We aren't scientists, engineers. We're closer to villains more than anything. But if you are one of those things and you hear us get something right or wrong, let us know. Either way, hop onto nerdtalkplus.com. Nerdtalkplus.com. You got to spell all those words out and hit the .com on the end of it. And while you're at it, if you could like tell a friend, or if you're listening to this like on Apple Podcasts, if you could write a review, it really helps other people find it. So it's like... it would be cool if you could do that. And
wherever just give us you are, hit a thumbs up, hit five stars, give us just like, give us something. Make us feel worthy, because otherwise we don't, and we'll cry.
I'll gladly do it for your thing too. Like I don't like when people are one way supporters or something, when they like only need the stuff coming in, but they're not. It's why I like Brad Evans for the Seattle Sounders so much, is because like I'll post something random and he'll like, I'm lucky to be his pal online and everything, and like I'll get like a like from Brad Evans, and I'm like, see, there's a guy who is like on a higher pedestal than I am, certainly, but he still just gets it. He's just a dude enjoying fun things and just participating. I'm really good on TikTok about giving everyone all of the likes.
Yeah, I'm kind of a serial liker on Instagram and TikTok as well. And it's probably why my algorithm is so messed up as it is. But yeah, Brad Evans actually follows us on Tropic Sound for the ECS subgroup here in Florida. And he likes a lot of that. So he likes us on Instagram. He likes us on Twitter. Drew Carey follows us on Twitter, which is just absolutely nuts. And he likes more of the like... off the wall, just like insane spewings that I'll do sometimes. And Drew is just like, yeah, I'm here for that.
If it's all caps, yes, you know it's Siege.
Drew follows like 340 people, and one of them is Tropic Sounders on Twitter. And it's just insane to think.
Well, he's a comedian. He gets it. Like, yeah, he knows what
he
it's
gets
like,
it. You know? He absolutely gets it.
Yeah, that's cool. Anyway, I'll let you handle the big occasion today.
Happy birthday, Gurgatron 69,000.
Thank you. Siege, everyone on this pod gets it, and I'm grateful. We talked about this before the show a little bit, which when people say that, I don't know why they say it, because it doesn't matter. But there's a certain quality that makes the characters on this show work, and that it's, you know, we're fun and funny and irreverent and all those things that we like. This show is basically to make each other feel good. That's like what it ends up being. And so I didn't realize you were wearing your Gurgatron shirt. Oh, that's so
hell
sweet.
Yeah,
thanks,
of
buddy.
Course for the occasion. I did the laundry earlier just so I could have it for you.
Oh, wow. Anyway, there's a certain like kind of dark streak that is also like one that comes from a good place. Mm-hmm. That runs through the three of us, that
and also goes to a dark place, but really comes back to a good place.
Yeah, it goes to is important.
Yeah.
My personal life has been bad these last couple years. It has not been enjoyable. And as it's like unraveled and like pulled me into like the pit of despair, like a Sarlacc in Boba Fett. Also like Boba Fett, I have survived.
Yes.
And like the last, I don't know, about the last month, maybe a couple months, And it's like, I realize this is a cliche and people like dump this on you and everything, but as a guy who you hear like talk about the good and the bad or whatever, having a person who's professionally trained to handle these thoughts and ideas and to poke you to get more of them out, to work through the problems and not just fester with them. Having a therapist has really been super helpful. And so like, I felt like towards the last quarter of last year, I was really coming through it and feeling like this better version of myself. And then about a month ago, I like faced some kind of demons and I felt awesome these last few weeks. I just like really, really great. And it's been a few months coming, but it's really gotten like since the first of the year. And I realized that 2024, though I don't usually like an even numbered year, I'm over that garbage because 2024, I'm nominating for Year of the Gerg. And now, a little side note to this too was that my persona in 2023 self-describe was like a little Darth Gerg. Like I stopped being interested in like what the negative consequences were to the self or to the mind or to anything. I stopped like just I couldn't engage that. And I started to realize like how if you don't care about that stuff, you have a lot less limitations. And that to me feels like the definition of evil.
That's so, the dark side. That's literally the dark side.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I didn't go and like lightsaber a bunch of younglings or something like that. You know what I mean? I didn't like take it there. But it really felt like the more I just allowed myself to be comfortable in my misery, like the more powerful my personality became. And frankly, I don't care for that. And it's been GERD all along. And I'm a guy who grew up like a happy, scared kid. And like somehow I lost sight of that through trying to prove myself or whatever it was. And maybe the midlife crisis brings it back on track or whatever. But I feel these glimpses of my past self, this innocent, searching for like kindness and joy type person that I was in my youth. And it's like I've been able to find that again. So I sort of feel like take my helmet off Vader at the end of Return of the Jedi, you know, and like, let me look upon you with my own eyes or whatever. Like, and so I was like, this Gerg thing, which has always been my Gollum, that's my other personality that we've made fun of for 10 years. Shout outs to John Manley.
What's up, dummy?
There we go.
Wait, didn't we kill him last episode? Isn't that canon now?
Yeah, I don't. Well, I don't remember, luckily.
R.I.P. My brain doesn't
work so good. But, like, that guy, he and I used to laugh about Gerg being my evil, like the gremlin that lives inside of me. And so
exactly.
It felt like Gerg was kind of a funny thing, but then also it started to weigh on me. Like, is it negative? Is it a bad thing? Should I not be indulging Gerg? And it dawned on me that Gerg is what I am. That is the me. That is the, like, you get it all from me. Greg is like... Greg is also valid, don't get me wrong, and it's not a dual personality thing. It's just that, like, when you cut through the crap and you get, like, the unfiltered person, you get Gerg. Yeah. And I was, like, thinking about this on my birthday, being like, nah, this is the year of the Gerg. This is
Hell
it.
Yes.
I'm, like, I'm embracing what it is to feel unfettered me in an appropriate way. Like, I'm not going to not respect boundaries and whatnot, but like I'm in it for me to feel the most complete that I can, and that includes having other people in my life that are like important, and like you guys for instance are a big deal to me, to have people that help nurture that. And like I don't think any of us on this show is intending to be evil or bad or whatever. We just are. There's a little bit of there's a little jesterism in us where we're it's performative to get through the tough parts thing. And that's okay.
Absolutely. So,
2024, year of the Gerg. Now, we got to set a reminder for next year when we record a pod to like see how year of the Gerg went. Because like, watch, I'll lose my job next week and then it'll be like, I'll be back to, you know, I almost said what I was going to say, but I'll be back to not feeling so good again. Some of the off-the-air stuff doesn't trigger people, or what triggers people when we say it differently on the air or whatever.
But. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So anyway, thanks for giving me a platform to just kind of like be able to talk about that and launch my campaign for Year of the Gerg. It's not even a campaign. It's happening. And I've got great people around me to make it happen, and I feel amazing.
Well, I mean, I feel like the same way, if I'm being perfectly honest with you. I've been watching you the last couple of months too. I feel the same way about you, and I feel the same way about myself. I mean, like I'm going to say the last few years for myself have been kind of tough as well. I mean, we know a lot of that off-air stuff and whatever, the funnies. And that's why I think Brandon always called me chaotic neutral was because I also didn't care for the longest time. I was like, well, if something happens, something happens. It was fun while I did it. And but yeah, I've done a lot of let's see, how should we put this? The shadow work and the cleaned out the back storage room of the brain. Yeah. And I've been working on a lot of that stuff as well. I mean, like, yeah, I've confronted a lot of crap, and I'm dealing with it constantly. And I'm always trying to be a better person. And the thing is, I'm so much meaner to myself than I am to anybody else. Like, I truly love and support my friends. And like I have a select group of people I just call my people. Like like I don't even say my family. They're just my people.
Yeah.
And I will do anything for them. And it's like, but then when it comes to me, I'm just like, ah, f- it. But I've kind of turned that around, I want to say, since like maybe, I don't know, Thanksgiving-ish. I've been working really hard on it. Good. But yeah, so, but 2024, I mean, my lucky number is 8. 2024 adds up to 8. I've got a bunch of people who are astrology people and tarot card people pulling cards and talking to me about stuff, being like, yeah, you're awesome. And I'm just like, hell yeah, this is awesome. So let's keep it going.
I might not be a scientist or whatever, whatever.
Yeah, no. Go ahead, go ahead.
How does it add up to 8?
2024. 2 plus 2 equals 4, and 4 plus 4 equals 8.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Yeah.
Sorry, the block is hot outside my house. There's like, can you hear that?
Yeah. What is that?
I don't know. Probably.
Shots fired.
Yeah, probably murder.
Yeah, that's cool. Murder.
Yeah. Anyway,
Speaking of which, I'm sorry to throw that at you. That just reminded me. So I have a text hotline, as you know, that I've used for other podcasts and everything like that. And somebody who listens to Nerd Talk texted me a long time ago. Remember when I randomly shouted out your birthday? I think it was like before my birthday. You were like, how the hell do you remember that? But somebody had texted me forever ago, giving me an astrology update for your 2024 birthday. And I'm going to have to find, for you, because I shouted out your birthday.
Oh,
so she had given one for me and one for you. And I'm going to have to find that, and I'll have to send that to you.
I got
to
say, I think astrology and all that stuff sucks. But I love when people are into something. And so if you're into it, like, unless it's like authoritarianism, I'm not super into that, but like
fascism.
Yeah, if it's like, you know, numerology, okay, cool, or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not for me. That's how you say that, right? Yeah.
I'm, you know, I'm very much a space nerd, and I love planets and stuff like that. And I just kind of, you know, associate this as like a side feature, because I do understand how the energies and the gravitational and all that other stuff work. I am not a, like, I'm going to invest everything that I know and am into this, but I accept it for what it is. And I know that, you know, some of this stuff, like, what's the thing that they say a lot in the old Godzilla movies? It's what is true, what is beyond truth is fact, or something like that. Or it's like something like that. It's this, what we don't know is like the actual science. What's beyond science is the truth, or something like that.
Okay.
So it's just kind of like, it's, we may not know it, but there's gotta be something to it that it's lasted like this long. So
I'm Googling, just trying to figure it out. Anyway,
yeah, I know, right? Anyway,
speaking of which, I went and saw Godzilla Minus One over the weekend.
Yes! The first time. Oh, I can't wait to hear your review. You didn't do a haiku review, did you?
No, I don't. I don't. I barely even remember the movie at this point. I remember bullet points, but no. So we maybe have said this before, but I'm like the perfect comedy fan because my brain erases that short term memory like moments after it's over, and so. Yeah, if you want to tell me a joke and then it comes on the radio later, I'm like laughing just the same way I did the first time. Nate Bargatze's talking about milk, I'm in. Like, it's just, let's go. And like, the part of that is the craft also, like that when people got me to laugh once, as long as it's not like gotcha type stuff, as long as it is well crafted, I appreciate the art again or whatever. So,
exactly.
So yeah, for me to go see Godzilla, it was like, now, you challenged me. You said that one of your favorite things, maybe your favorite thing in cinematic history happened and that I would be able to find it. That is a tough weight to put on somebody.
I know. I hated doing that to you. I didn't want to make you like start focusing on that instead of just enjoying the movie. But damn.
So it was just, that's like, what I my did, favorite shot. I was like waiting for things.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. First of all, Japan is the best because they made a movie that was like, it's not like, I don't want to like spoil it because I do want people to see it and not have it be surprised. But the first like 96% of the movie, maybe 97% of the movie, like nothing's working out. Everybody is miserable and owning their shame. And it's just like, even when you screwed up, it's like you feel miserable for it and the other people let you know that you should. And so there's not a lot of like breaks for feel good stuff. The breaks and the feeling bad stuff are when a giant lizard beast starts eating your family.
Yes.
Or like nuking, you know, with his nuclear radiation breath, like messing up parts of the outskirts of Tokyo, right?
And just a quick sidebar, I gotta say that this atomic breath from Minus One was by far my favorite atomic breath out of all the Godzillas in the past.
Easily, because it's, I mean, I'll spoil this part, but it's like, it's a nuclear bomb.
Yeah.
Wherever it strikes, it like will blow up the Death Star. It's like awesome.
You get the mushroom cloud and everything.
Yeah. And so, the movie is very, Oba Skin Squatch is here.
What's up? Hey. Look at this gentleman. Oh. Hey. Hi, Cage. Oh. Special guest appearance by Cage. Oh,
Cage with a K.
Cage with a K. Yeah, I guess I've never seen it spelled out.
Yeah, I spelled it, and I was like, it's got to be K. Cause
one time I did it K-A-J-E because of the joy.
I like Kahe.
Yeah. Kahe.
It sounds like it could be how the Japanese say it or something like that. Like we're talking about. Brandon, Brandon has joined us from Spokane and with his mustache. He's Brandon from the internet.
What's up, guys?
We already made fun of you at the top a lot. So,
sick. Hi. Cool.
Yeah, the part where you don't respond and we're like, hey, we're going. And you're like, I'm just not going to say anything. Like,
I was painting. I was painting when you did that.
Yeah, I could tell.
Not like artistically, because I'm terrible at painting artistically. I was just painting the wall.
It's so hard to believe because you're so good with your whiteboard that it, like, I feel like you got all the parts there.
I mean, he does draw owl butts better than I've ever seen before in my life. Is that a new whiteboard?
No, same whiteboard. Just
clean slate.
Just clean.
Fresh.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
this could be dangerous.
Brandon, I saw Godzilla Minus One over the weekend. You missed the whole part where, like, I unloaded on my, like, psychological decline and rebound and rebirth as the Phoenix. And
So basically, like, Godzilla going to work wearing a collar and a tie, being depressed because he works a 9-to-5.
Yeah, but then he finds his radiation
Steve the Centaur
breath.
Being like, oh, man, come on.
And get
like,
the hell out
day,
of here,
huh?
Tokyo.
Mondays, huh?
Mondays, am I right?
Dude, they share a cubicle. It is awesome. Anyway, it being my birthday and everything, I decided that this is Year of the Gurg. I know that.
Hey, happy birthday!
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Year of the Gurg. It's coming up all Gurg this year. So that's the. I said we'll check back in a couple weeks and see if that's still the truth or not. But trying to run with the positivity while I got it. It's funny because I felt like garbage for two straight years, and then for 2 weeks I was like pretty intensely happy, and I was like, well, this is a terrible omen. Like, you're not allowed to be happy this long. And then I was like, I let myself be miserable for years, but then after 2 weeks I like can't accept it. Nah, it's turning. So Then I go see Godzilla Minus One, and the first, I told Siege, maybe the first 96% of the movie was real negative. It's like, not a lot of positive things are going to happen here, right?
The first all of the movie?
Yeah. I mean, Siege, I'm not wrong, right?
I'd almost contest to say right up until the moment.
Yeah.
It's very much, oh, no.
And don't worry, it ends dark, too. So it's like, there's just like a brief, like,
As it should. It's Godzilla, for God's sakes.
Yeah, for Godzilla's sakes.
Yeah. So. Thank you.
I was the one having to make all those jokes.
What's the moment? Like, what's, is the climax like the climax?
Yeah, I mean, jizz everywhere. It's crazy. It's
a giant lizard.
I know I did.
Yeah. Are you censoring yourself because Cage is in the background?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Because you keep looking over your shoulder like you are, for sure.
Yeah. I wanted to know what that reaction was going to be.
Cage is thinking about jizz and lizards.
Can you just say, Greg says this, giant lizard jizz.
Hey, Catherine. Yeah. Greg says this, giant, what is it? Giant
lizard.
Giant lizard jizz. Silence.
What?
She says she doesn't get it.
No, okay, but she's not mad, right?
Or maybe no, she's not mad. You're not mad. She's not mad. No, she says no.
Okay.
Yeah. She said, I'm married to you, so no.
Tell her, the guy who literally on their first like real date was dipping his balls and peen into like buttermilk in the bathroom while planking.
Yeah.
Go back and listen to that episode, a classic Brandon story. Oh my God.
If you're thinking, it's not what you're thinking.
It is exactly what I'm thinking.
No, it's totally what I'm thinking.
So anyway, the film is they use all the classic Godzilla sound effects. Great job.
Yes.
They use all the classic Godzilla music for it, for like the big parts. Awesome. And a lot of like overly dramatized Japanese people. It's like they overdo all of their feelings so hard. Everything. As if they don't actually know what feelings are, and they're caricaturing them from Western movies. It's awesome.
It was so great.
Now, I goofed up and didn't buy the black and white ticket because Google and my brain did not get on the same wavelength. I blame Google, to be fair. So I saw it in color. I don't think
Which is still awesome.
It was awesome. Yeah. I would like to now see it again in black and white so I can compare it.
It'll be like the one that you saw, but it'll be without color.
What?
It'll be just like the one, if you want to compare them, it's just, I feel like it's just going to be like the one that you just saw, but it's not going to have any...
But there's like a certain grit to it that if you see it in black and white. Like I can take a photo of you and make it black and white and it'll look different, you know?
What was great about it, when I saw it from color to black and white, because I saw it in color 4 times, I think, and then like once in the black and white, because they're only doing it for a week. Yeah. I think it's out February 2nd. Like, that's the last day that they're going to show it in black and white.
February 1st, I think, is the last day.
February 1st? Okay. Yeah. But when I saw it in the black and white, I was just like, dude, it's even more just like that real, straight up, old school Godzilla feeling. And after seeing it in black and white, I'm not even sure if they shot it in color so much as shot it in black and white and colorized it, because that's how good it looked.
Mm. Whoa.
So it was really cool to like think about it, that it almost could have been like reversed. I'd have to like look that up. I'm not for sure.
You guys are
one way or
you guys
another,
are,
but it was awesome.
I love movies. I love going to the movies, and Cage does not love going to the movies. Mm. So I don't end up going to the movies very often. And you guys are making me want to stop this podcast right now so I can go to the movies and watch this movie, because it sounds...
If there's a late showing, I'll go with you after and we can just text each other.
Yes.
I'm for serious. I love that movie.
No one doubts that.
I like the idea of... like they shot the movie in black and white and then colorized it with like, had like the AI colorizing tool to put colors all over it. And because I was recently, I sent you guys this in Instagram earlier. I don't know if you had a chance to see it, but it looks like it's probably an old story at this point. But the New Yorker had an article where Japan was doing funny things with AI.
Really? You don't say.
They designed an AI system to distinguish croissants from bear claws, which, first of all, I mean, that's a, I guess, a handy tool with, like, limited application. Like, what situation are you like, is this a croissant or a bear claw? Damn,
that's
it, CAPTCHA.
Mass production.
CAPTCHA. Japan, we now know they're trying to keep the French out of Japan. They're like, we need to be able to...
In order to enter Japan, which of these is a croissant? No, no, no. The French robots can't come in. They distinguish a... they created this AI system to distinguish croissants from bear claws, and I didn't know those were... when I was in Japan last, I don't remember, like, a lot of pastries...
I went to a
when
couple
I was in Japan last,
bakeries.
As if I went a lot. Like, there was the one time I was in Japan in my limited experience of 24 hours there, I didn't see a lot of pastries, croissants, bear claws, or otherwise.
Yeah.
But anyway, they designed a system to determine these pastries apart, and it turned out to be capable of identifying cancer cells. Like, yeah, okay, do I want a croissant, a maple bar, a bear claw, or cancer? Definitely not that.
I'll take that yummy-looking scoop of cancer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I have that bear claw, but only the ones with the cancer cells in them?
Can I get the cancer as long as it's jelly-filled?
For some reason, I imagined an octopus, only it was full of jelly. And so, like, you go, like, you order that, and you're like, take a bite, and it's like...
It inked you.
Okay, yeah. So this is crazy. Here's why this technology was needed. I read that first joke and I sent it to you guys, and then, or not the first joke. I read the headline and sent it to you guys and didn't read it. Like,
everyone knows that. Everyone understands that's what we do.
So basically, this is according to a person on the internet. Basically, market research for Japanese bakeries determined that they sell more breads and pastries with as long as they have a lot of different varieties and
cancer.
Exactly. Japanese bakery customers prefer items that are not wrapped because individually wrapped things give the impression of being preserved. So they like fresh food. So the obvious solution is to sell as many different kinds of unwrapped breads and pastries as you can. But in practice, that's a nightmare because there's no packaging and no barcodes to scan. So the cashier needs to know all like 200 different. Okay, this is crazy because... so basically, you can't teach the cashier to know what a bear claw is versus a croissant. So you teach AI to do it, and then you put it in like their Apple ski goggles so that they can just it just pop up in front of them. But this, like, I'm like, come on, you gotta be expecting more from these cashiers at these Japanese markets, because like my little brother Steven, who I totally ignored when he asked me if he should come on the podcast tonight, because I wasn't even sure if I was going to be here.
He texted me.
Oh,
not me.
He sent me a message and was just like, and I was just like, huh, maybe we should get him since Brandon's not here.
Well, Steven used to work at QFC and grocery store in where
Japan.
We grew up.
In
Japan.
Yeah, it's Kroger.
He did teach in China for a bit.
Kroger and the rest of the country.
That's a different country, Brandon.
Yeah, yeah. China? No, it is. It is a different country. I'm sorry.
There's more than a billion of them.
Yeah. Countries?
Countries. Yeah.
Each Chinese person is their own country.
I think it's probably been 10 years since... don't tell them that. They're one China. don't get that wrong.
I just got our show canceled in China.
Taiwan is even its own country to them.
Hong Kong loves us now, though.
It's probably been 10 years since he's worked at this grocery store, and I think if you asked him like what the code for a cucumber was, he would like in his head
4, 6,
do
1, 6.
Muscle memory of the pin, and he would know it off the top of his head.
I used to do that when I worked at Publix. I haven't worked at Publix since, good God, I was like 15 or 14 or something like that. I used to be able to tell you the different code between Gala apples, Golden Delicious, Red Delicious, like whatever, like the banana codes for like different brands. Yeah, I definitely feel that.
I think you were going to say butts for some reason. The banana codes for different butts.
I know the banana codes for different butts as well.
The banana codes sounds like a very high calling of a specific type. Like if you could be a banana or you could live up to the banana codes, which is like how you become like a banana knight.
I'm pretty sure that's actually 4011. I'll have to look that up.
Sorry, I was going to say a banana samurai, and I went to banana rye.
Banana rye.
If you live up to the banana codes, you can become a banana rye.
So how do you make that bushido is the word for it, and how do you make that into a banana word?
Banana shido.
Bushana nana.
Bushana. Yes, I was right. Banana codes are still 4011.
Dude, that is not good knowledge. Like, I can sing every NoFX album between 1987 and 2001, and that is not knowledge I need, but less so is the knowledge of banana codes.
I still sing Together in the Sand constantly.
If you're 10 years beyond this thing, and you can still, or you, how long has it been since you worked in public?
Dude, that's been like 30 years almost. Yeah,
if it's been that long, and you can still do it, I think we should be able to expect these Japanese grocery store chain workers to be able to identify a couple of different pastries or cancer. Can you imagine somebody walking through the, so you'll have a couple packs of cigarettes and you'll have a head of lettuce and a bag of Cheetos, and also you have non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Yeah. You're like, wait, come here, let me smell your breath real quick, and be like, oh yeah, that's cancer, bro.
Oh man. And see, over there they at least have like robots doing that. We have to rely on dogs. Yeah. We have like the random dogs that can smell sick people,
or cats that like lay on the dying people's beds.
Yeah.
Also, that's going to be $29.99 for that, and with your Safeway Select card, it'll be $25.99.
Did you download the digital coupons? Enter your phone number.
So, Brandon, you're joining us late today because you're in the middle of some stuff. Do you want to tell us about it, or can you talk about it, or?
We'll see. We'll see if it.
Brandon's buying an alligator farm.
Finally.
Sorry,
I've been looking for a solid investment down in Florida.
Are we going to save this for next week then? Because either you'll know, and then next week we can talk about it either way, right?
If I know, I might know while we're talking on the podcast, and I'll get very giddy.
Okay, cool.
Ooh.
Or very sad.
Yeah. Cage is having Kevin Costner come over, and they're gonna try some new stuff in the sack.
Man, don't get me started on that guy.
Don't get her started on that guy either.
Please.
It's that bad, huh?
Who are we talking about? There was Costner, and then the other guy that we were talking about.
Kurt Russell.
Tommy Lee Jones. Russell,
who she's not so much into. Better.
That's just weird. I don't like that.
Hey. What?
What? Sorry.
How's he beeping himself?
I don't know how I'm beeping my goddamn self. Hey,
is that set to 1,000 hertz?
It's something. Yeah. I don't know what it's set to.
It seems a little higher, maybe.
It's higher than yours. Oops, sorry.
How dare you? Okay, so I don't know if you guys remember this or not. You probably maybe saw the story or whatever that I've already talked about a little bit, but a couple years ago, maybe a year ago, there was these five African greys, they're parrots, that were in a UK animal sanctuary, and they had to be taken off of the front lines. Because they were, of course, they were in the UK. The UK came and got the Africans and put them into a sanctuary in England.
This is our museum where we keep all our African things.
So they had to take the parrots off of display because they were cursing too much. And it's not just a case of them cursing too much. The guy, the park executive director, said when we came to move them, the language that came out of their carrying boxes was phenomenal. Really bad. Not normal swear words. These were proper expletives. So whoever got these words to these birds, kudos, because that is hilarious to me. So they take them off of the front line so that way they're not, even though the park guests, some of the guests thought they were really funny, the us of the park visitors thought they were really funny. even though that was the case, there was more people who were not so pleased about the proper expletives. So they take him off the front line. Then they get three more African Greys that also have swearing problems. And so now they have a party of eight of them that they're keeping together and swearing all the time. And it's just multiplying their problems. So what they figure is that they've got this other group of 100 African Grey parrots in a sanctuary somewhere, like on the premises or what, I don't know. And they're like, what we'll do is we'll introduce these eight to the other 100. And when they're around other birds that don't swear so much, then the swearing will go away and we'll have rehabbed them. And I'm like,
no. We kept adding fire to a little bit of gasoline and it turned into a bigger fire. But if we just add that to a lot of gasoline, it'll be totally fine.
Well, it's like my mom was a middle school teacher at one point in time. And like, I have a 6-year-old that's running around and he's like, Mama lets me say F-U-C-K, F-U-C-K, F-U-C-K. He's 6 and knows what he's doing, probably on par with the intelligence of an African gray parrot. Like, there's no way that one's not like, rah, f*** your mother, and the others aren't like, rah, 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 and they like start saying that, you know? There's like no way that that doesn't happen. Explain to me how this could go right is what I want.
Maybe they're like a specific. Oh, how about we make it worse?
Yes.
Here we go.
It's time for America's favorite game show, Make It Worse. And here's your host, your friend Sage.
Hey, everybody. Hey. Welcome to America's favorite game show. Let's make it worse.
Yay.
I honestly think that there can be no worse. I think that it will only get better from here because 8 infecting 100. First of all, a group of parrots is called a pandemonium. And if you've got a pandemonium just swearing like with all the amazing curse words that I can only imagine, because you know how the English put a little bit of flourish on their cursing.
Yeah.
Like, you're dropping 8 of these flourished cursing connoisseurs into a pandemonium. That's just going to be incredible.
Do they swear? Are their accents British? Do they sound British? Do, like, parrots from England sound British?
All I can think of is, like, every single African person who has their family has immigrated to England or the UK, and that accent that they pick up, like the South London or, you know, whatever else. I'm thinking of this accent coming out of a parrot. Just,
well, it's like,
go proper F yourself. That was terrible.
It's like Steve Zakawani.
Yeah,
he says truth, you know, with the F instead of the TH at the end. Truth. And so if you got f your mother, if that's the truth or whatever, then like it's like
I'm really stumped here.
I can make it worse.
Do it. Well, I'm just worried that if we call a bunch of parrots a pandemonium, what do we call a bunch of pandas? A perennium? Perennium?
You get a ding from me, Brandon. You get a ding from me. That was a perineum being a group of pandas is top. Okay. That's top quality.
Yeah.
Okay, I can make it worse. 108 parrots cursing, right? Obviously, you turn them onto mid-90s gangster rap, so now they're dropping insensitive racial slurs.
Ooh.
Okay, I can make it worse.
Yes.
I can make it worse. Okay, you take these 8 parrots and you keep them over here and you teach them a specific, the bad words that they know they keep over there. And then you split the other 100 parrots into multiple groups of parrots. And each one of those parrots, you teach a specific, like a very specific vocabulary of specific racial swear words. So that way you have a bunch of different categories races of parrots, essentially, all, and then you fight them against each other, and you see a gang war start.
Are you creating race wars in parrots?
Yes, that's it. Yeah, that's got to be worse, right?
Went from parrots with attitude to like just full out East Coast West Coast beef.
What yeah, maybe they, maybe they go like a West Side Story style where they like they dance a little bit and then they maybe stab each other a little bit.
They tie their wings together and they're like swinging swords or knives at each other. Yeah, I say you grill them. I think that you put them into the air fryer or sous vide, and that's how you make it worse. Like little necklaces with their heads on them.
You watch your mouth or else.
You like my beak earrings?
Oh, sweet.
You're
about
Lord. To be a panda nugget.
A perineum nugget.
Oh, gross. Ding.
That's a dingleberry.
That was our best make it worse yet. I am real happy about that. You're the Gerg. I'm for it.
You're the Gerg.
Yeah.
Wow. I hope we didn't just shoot our entire wad at the end of January.
I can't do that anymore.
Listen, you're the Gerg.
Hashtag Citalopram.
You're the Gerg.
Oh, shoot, man. They could sponsor this show.
We're in this together.
Did you guys hear about this clock that Bezos is building?
This just doesn't sound good.
You did, Brandon?
Right off the bat,
I heard about this, and I tried to look up like pictures of it just to see like renderings, and I was really hoping that it was just going to look like a mountain with a Rolex on, and then it turns out it's nothing near as cool as that.
So he's building, I think it's called, it's the 10,000-year clock is what he's building. Yeah. And it's something that somebody first hypothesized in the 80s, and then he started talking about it like in the early 2000s or something. Maybe my time frame is a little off here. But the idea would be that every year the clock would move like 1 second or whatever, and every 100 years it would move a fractional amount, or like a minute. So every millennium it would move an hour. Something to that effect, where the clock would go by so slowly that it puts into perspective just how meaningless our lives are. Like, oh, my dryer is going off.
Nice.
I feel like I'm in Japan.
Anyway, to get your butt washed.
Yeah, I've got the. Wait, yeah, I want to get my butt. Yeah. Bezos
Happy
is making
birthday.
The second hand would only move one click per year, driving the century hand, and eventually making the cuckoo every millennium. That's what it is. So it would go around the entire. It's a millennium clock that would that they want it to last for 10,000 years. So every year is a second, pushing the century hand, and then It takes 1,000 years for it to go all the way around and make one cuckoo motion for it. So you would ideally start it at zero with one cuckoo and then work for 1,000 years to get it back again to show how frail and frivolous all of our worries and concerns and billions of dollars actually are.
It would be amazing if it made an entire mountain range cuckoo, like every, 1,000 years?
Yeah, it's just got like... Like, what animal would we use to put into the cuckoo clock for...
Godzilla.
Yeah.
A racist parrot?
Yes.
Like, okay, easy. All right.
Oh, my goodness.
I can't say any of this. I don't know what I'm doing. You're the Gerg. Let's go.
You're the Gerg.
Yeah.
Wow. I just, like, wonder, like, if it goes off on that that 1,000th year, so, like, the year 3,000... Somebody like who's the person that's got to roll over and snooze it so that
do cuckoo clocks have snooze buttons? That's this week's question of the week.
Of the week,
thank you. I should give you that sound effect, the of the week sound effect, so you can play it when I say it, so I don't have to go back and find it. That's
I need to like rearrange all of my hotkeys so I can just like put them all on the same.
If you guys had essentially limitless money.
Oh yeah!
Like this is a question. I mean, like obviously this is a hypothetical that's thrown around a lot. But bear with me. If you had limitless money like Bezos, and you had the idea of like, big clock, or like, big important clock, I still think that like with the amount of money that he has, he could have just picked like Denali, and just carved a big hole in it, put a big clock in it.
Well, that's not where I was going with that.
But like he could have just like made it super gaudy and like really permanent too, right? Like this, the whole idea of this clock being in a mountain, I think, is that
changes the name back to Mount McKinley just to make people mad too. With all
yeah, I bought it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of like what kind of clock, like, yeah, just what, why the, like, if you look at the prototype of the clock, it's so just boring.
I'm looking at it. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It's on the.
You'd have to get an artist involved, right? Because otherwise you end up with dick rockets again, like with his Blue Origin, where like nothing looks more like a dick going to space than Jeff Bezos' thing. It's like a...
Dude,
it's ridiculous.
This clock kind of looks like a penis. The clock does kind of look like a penis. It, like now...
I'm looking at the face of the clock, and it looks like a 24-inch rim from like... Year 2000 that you put on like a Nissan Altima.
Excuse me, 24-inch rim job.
Yeah, 24-inch rim job on my Nissan Altima.
Bezos took the clock and then Exhibit took it and pimped his ride. He pimped his clock and put spinners on it.
He put clocks on the wheels.
So
10,000 year clocks.
For scale, Exhibit and Flava Flav and Bezos, the collaboration you never knew you needed.
I want it to be like a cheap plastic clock, like Flavor Flav. Like, I want it to be like gold chain, like, but crappy clock.
Yeah, like
tied around the peak of a mountain.
Now, for scale, if someone could real quick Google how tall Denali is, I mean, excuse me, Mount McKinley, as we changed the name back to.
As we've already.
It's 20,000 feet. It's like give or take 20,000 feet.
Okay, so, and I wonder if what. The base, I wonder if the base is at sea level or if it starts...
It's not.
Okay, so it starts at 5,000 and goes to 20 or something like that.
From base to peak is 18,000 feet.
Okay, that's a lot. The tallest statue, my friend Maria and I were looking into this earlier, my tallest statue in the world is Statue of Unity, excuse me, in India, 597 feet tall. The Space Needle's just over 600. So you're talking about the tallest statue or, like, something that that would go hand-in-hand with this is 600 feet tall, 60 stories. That's, like, a pretty big building if you build it. You're talking Mount McKinley, which is 18,000 feet tall, and so you want to put, like, a clock on the top, 5,000 feet or whatever. That's going to be badass, dude. It's I hope that the cuckoo sweet. That comes out is like a polar bear that was once alive and lived on those lands, and it just comes out just like a skeleton. It's like,
no, it's animatronic. It comes out and starts like playing with a band of mountain goats and
guitar. At that size, you could actually put Godzilla coming out of it.
Absolutely,
it's gigantic.
See why we should have Bezos's money?
Obviously.
Because
we would do
everybody
so
will
much
like
better
this,
with
like,
it.
Everybody would cheer to this.
Listen,
everybody, like the clock thing, everybody's like, yeah, okay, fine, whatever, rich dude, spend your money however you want. Like, with us, people would be like, no, this is great. Please do this
more. It's where Elon is so divisive because he does things like create plaid mode on the, or the plaid version of the Tesla.
Sends a Tesla to Mars.
Yeah. But like plaid is like a Spaceballs reference. It's their fastest one, and it's they've gone to plaid. Like,
exactly.
That's so cool. And then he's such a dildo at the same time. Like, yeah, if you let, like, you know, my big claim is that if I ever won, like, the Sirius lottery, that I would buy the naming rights to the baseball stadium and change it to Tyrannosaurus Park. And then every time someone hits a home run, there would be a Tyrannosaurus in the outfield that would go crazy roaring, maybe shoot fireworks out its ass. I don't know.
And eat fans.
Yeah, and eat.
If we feed a member of the opposing team.
Yes.
It's a war of attrition.
You know, the whole bullpen area where everybody's out there drinking, at least two people get eaten.
The pen. See you nerds later, you jerks. I'm just, or do it like that. In our group chat, there was someone sent one where it's the where people get tied to the roof of the mouth of the dinosaur, and then like it simulates eating.
Yeah.
Like, and so you're like bouncing around and getting eaten. That would be awesome as a fan experience. I would want to do all those things just to like make the city amazing.
If we had Bezos money and we were actually shooting space dicks into space, we would own it. We wouldn't call it like Blue Origin and, oh, this is our like
rocket. We'd call it space dick.
We'd be like, yeah, exactly. You'd be like, you want to ride a space dick.
Yeah. We would make sure that, like, at the apex, it was shooting out a massive Roman candle out the top of it.
Yeah, right, see?
Where do you think the parachutes come out?
Why is there a slit painted on the top? Oh, just wait.
Wait and see.
It's a window.
It's like the Simpsons episode. I'd want to paint it like... Awesome. I'd want to paint it like a glowing green color and have it be the inanimate carbon rod that they sent. And like,
yes.
It outshines Homer in space. Like, that type of stuff. It's playing into nostalgia.
Let's assume that we've already solved homelessness and racism with all of the money that we
have. Yeah, you feed the homeless to the racist.
That's so easy with that kind of money. We're done that.
Dude, parrots are herbivores.
They didn't used to be, dude. There's no way.
We could raise them.
They came from the dinosaurs.
Yeah, and all dinosaurs were carnivores, even the herbivores.
Yep. And they eat homeless.
And all dinosaurs are racist.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Have you heard how those parrots talk now? Oh, my God. That's not learned behavior. That is, what do you call it, environment versus nurture versus nature?
Yeah, nurture. That's nature.
Racist-ass dinosaurs being like, the thing about white people, it's like, what are people like? Don't worry about it. They don't use seasoning.
Gotta season my Neanderthal.
Yeah, dude, there's no way. Like, so my dream when I was a kid is that I wanted to have, again, dinosaur-themed, without a business shirt and tie. I wanted to have a giant house in the forest that was like 10 stories tall, shaped like a Tyrannosaurus. And the helipad would obviously be in its head. Or no, the living room would be in the head, the helipad's on its back. And then you park the cars in its tail. So like when you go, you know, out, oh, you come out, yeah, of the tail or whatever. And so, and then have it periodically roar, so that way when people are hiking, they get real flipped out by it. Like real, real terrifying stuff. And I just wanted to have That's a house amazing. Shaped like a dinosaur. Like, you gotta have Bezos money for that. And what is he building? Miami mansions? Get out of here, you dork. Do something cool.
Not even cool. Like, a Miami mansion, I'm like, okay, cool, man. Like, at least make a cool house. And instead, it's a clock inside of a mountain.
He is building Miami mansions, though, for the record. But
no, I know. And I'm saying, like, that's fine. Like, yeah, you're a rich person. That's what I expect from a rich person.
Like,
do
why
cool
doesn't he have, like, a robot
money.
Fighting league? Like, why isn't there, like, robots sword fighting and stuff? Like, if you have that kind of money, literally hundreds of billions of dollars... I need stuff that shoots other stuff into explosives. Like, it's, like, not hard to figure out.
You guys, we should battle bots just, like, regular everyday robots.
We should battle, like, bots regular everyday people.
Yes. Against robots?
We do that. Yes. It's called UFC.
Oh, yeah. Brandon, what do you mean when you say everyday robots?
So I basically
mean like the Flippy bot that makes burgers and have it fight?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, we need to be, like, Roomba versus Flippy bot.
Yeah,
you know, and then like they're not gonna like they're gonna
the
try to fight
is
each
is
other,
you flip
and then
the Roomba over like a turtle, and then it's defeated.
Exactly, exactly.
Onto the grill,
or like you like
yes.
Just try to determine what is the most dangerous robot through fighting them, and then like they have to fight through the ranks until one of them is the most dangerous robot.
T-1000, yeah, yeah.
I mean, we all know it's definitely Boston Dog.
Boston Dog. Wait, Boston the one with the Dog. English accent that can like lure you into doing things because it's so polite.
That sounds like what you order outside of like a Red Sox game. You're like, you come out like, hey,
can I get a
Boston
Dog?
Hey, Boston Dog bag.
Hold the machine gun on the back.
Put a Sam Adams in the bun, please.
Is a sprinkle tea all over the top of it? Is that a thing? Is
like, that's got to be the most murderous robot, right? Or like the most dangerous robot.
It has to be.
Like I guess, but I guess I want to like BattleBots household appliances, like
like my dryer going head to head against
it's like
puts the other robot in there.
BattleBots, it's dryer versus toaster.
Oh, dude, dryer wins every time.
Dryer.
My parents have a 1970s electronic can opener.
Yes.
That all you do is put the can on it and it slices the whole top off of it with like a yes, exactly. Just cuts with the blade with
you put a parrot in there, that's how you cook it.
Put a Roomba in there, just slice open the top of it.
Dude, yeah, see? Like, how do we not have the money for this? I mean, This type of irresponsibility is what the world needs. Not the stuff where we're like, our world's being ruined by idiots. We need idiots making it awesome.
Do either of you guys have an Alexa?
Yeah, of course. It's right here. Okay. Look at it.
So now, so when we see the Appliance Fighting League next year on on Amazon Prime, we're going to know exactly what happened. Okay, so this is why we don't have the bunnies, because our brilliant ideas are stolen by the rich.
Yeah, well, that's a bummer.
Way to bum us out, Brandon. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Way to ruin my birthday.
Yeah.
Year of the Gerg.
Year of Gerg over.
Yeah, well. Damn it.
How long was your year in Gerg years? 29 days.
We did shoot our wad.
I guess I'm going to go tug it to not completion. See you guys later.
Coming up on Amazon Prime, tugging it to not completion.
Hey guys, this might have been breaking news since we started this show, or maybe not since we started, but just before we started the show. A headline from Reuters: Elon Musk's Neuralink implants brain chip in first human.
Oh, good. Are they dead already?
I'm inserting chips into human all the time.
Dude, yeah, we had a minute of chips each.
We did a whole episode about
that. How many chips went into three humans?
We should have the monies, okay?
Yeah,
he obviously stole it from us, right?
Stole that idea. Oh, I put a chip in a person. It's like, great, we've all fed our friends Doritos.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah!
Yeah, dude, there's no way. Like, so my dream when I was a kid is that I wanted to have, again, dinosaur themed, without a business shirt and tie. I wanted to have a giant house in the forest that was like 10 stories tall, shaped like a Tyrannosaurus, and the helipad would obviously be in its head. Or no, the living room would be in the head, the helipad's on its back, and then you park the cars in its tail. So like when you go, you know, out, you come out of the tail or whatever. And so, and then have it periodically roar. So that way when people are hiking, they get real flipped out by it. Like real, real terrifying stuff. And I just wanted to have house shaped like a dinosaur. Like, you got to have Bezos money for that. And what is he building? Miami mansions? Get out of here, you dork. Do something cool.
You got enough of those. Not even cool. Like a Miami mansion, I'm like, okay, cool, man. Like at least make a cool house. And instead, it's a clock inside of a mountain.
He is building Miami mansions, though, for the record. But
no, I know, and I'm saying, like, that's fine. Like, you're a rich person. That's what I expect from a rich person.
Like,
do
why
cool
doesn't he have, like, a robot
money.
Fighting league? Like, why isn't there, like, robots sword fighting and stuff? Like, if you have that kind of money, literally hundreds of billions of dollars, I need stuff that shoots other stuff into explosives. Like, it's, like, not hard to figure out.
You guys, we should battle bots just, like, regular, everyday robots.
We should battle like, bots regular everyday people.
Yes. Against robots?
We do that. Yes. It's called UFC.
Brandon, what do you mean when you say everyday robots?
So I basically
like
the flippy bot that
makes burgers and have it fight?
Yeah. Like we need to be like Roomba versus Flippy Bot.
Yeah,
you know, and then like they're gonna try to fight each other,
flip
and then
the Roomba over like a turtle, and then it's defeated.
Exactly.
Onto the grill,
or like you like yes. Just try
have
to determine
grill.
What is the most dangerous robot through fighting them, and then like they have to fight through the ranks until one of them is the most dangerous robot.
T-1000, yeah. T-1000.
I mean, we all know it's definitely Boston Dog.
Boston Dog. Wait, Boston the one with the English accent that can like lure you into doing things because it's so polite.
That sounds like what you order outside of like a Red Sox game. You're like, you come out like, hey,
get a
Boston
Dog.
Hey, Boston Dog bag.
Hold the machine gun on the back.
Put a Sam Adams in the bun, please.
There's a sprinkle tea all over the top of it. Is that a thing?
Like, that's got to be the most murderous robot, right? Or like the most dangerous robot.
It has to be.
Like I guess, but I guess I want to like BattleBots household appliances, like
like my dryer going head to head against
it's like
puts the other robot in there and
BattleBots. It's dryer versus toaster.
Oh, dude, dryer wins every time.
Dryer.
My parents have a 1970s electronic can opener.
Yes.
And all you do is put the can on it and it slices the whole top off of it with like a, yes, exactly. Just cuts with the blade.
You put a parrot in there. That's how you cook it.
Put a Roomba in there. Just slice open the top of it.
Dude, yeah, see? Like, how do we not have the money for this? I mean, this type of irresponsibility is what the world needs. Not the stuff where we're like, our world's being ruined by idiots. We need idiots making it awesome.
Do either of you guys have an Alexa?
Yeah, of course. It's right here. Okay. I'm looking at it.
So now, so when we see the Appliance Fighting League next year on on Amazon Prime, we're gonna know exactly what happened. Okay, so this is why we don't have the bunnies, because our brilliant ideas are stolen by the rich.
Yeah, well, that's a bummer.
Way to bum us out, Brandon. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Way to ruin my birthday.
Yeah.
Year of the Gerg.
Year of Gerg over.
Yeah, well. Damn it.
How long was your year in Gerg years? 29 days.
We did shoot our wad.
I guess I'm going to go tug it to not completion. See you guys later.
Coming up on Amazon Prime, tugging it to not completion.
Hey guys, this might have been breaking news since we started this show, or maybe not since we started, but just before we started the show. A headline from Reuters: Elon Musk's Neuralink implants brain chip in first human.
Oh, good. Are they dead already?
I'm inserting chips into human all the time,
dude. Yeah, we had a minute of chips each.
We did a whole episode about that.
You know how many chips went into three humans?
We should have the monies, okay?
Yeah.
He obviously stole it from us, right?
Stole that idea. Oh, I put a chip in a person. It's like, great, we've all fed our friends Doritos.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk.